Your business doesn't exist for you. Your business exists for the person you serve. The business exists for your client, for your customers, for your patients. Like, it exists for them. So the more you think about them, the more you will succeed.
Hi, docs. Welcome to the EntreMD podcast, where it's all about helping amazing physicians just like you embrace entrepreneurship so you can have the freedom to live life and practice medicine on your terms. I'm your host, Dr. Una.
Well, hello, hello, my friend. Welcome back to another episode of the EntreMD podcast. You may have wondered, what are the things that successful physician entrepreneurs have in common? And today I'm going to show you seven of them, okay? So we're going to look at the seven characteristics of successful physician entrepreneurs. Now, this comes from over a decade and a half of experience I have had as a physician entrepreneur. And this comes from hundreds and hundreds of doctors that I have studied over the years, wondering what makes them successful. And I have noticed some trends, okay? So trend number one, characteristic number one, they are people who have redefined failure, okay? As a physician, right, we, you know, a lot of us are perfectionists. And I think with our profession, that is not too bad, right? Like that we want the things to do, we want to do them excellently. We want to do them as perfectly as possible and all of those things. It works, right? Like if you have a neurosurgeon in your brain or you have a heart surgeon in your heart, you want them to shoot for perfectionism as much as possible. However, as an entrepreneur, entrepreneurship, I call like the great experiment. There's so many things that you're going to try. There's some things that work for others, but not for you. And there's some things that work for you and not others. There's something that worked in your phase, in your time. There's so many new things. You know, AI comes in, a pandemic comes in, all of these things. And so you need to learn to adapt and be willing to try new things. And so if you have perfectionism as a characteristic, then it will stop you. It'll stop you from being innovative. It will stop you from responding to challenges. It'll stop you from thriving. And so what we need to do is to kind of redefine failure. And so the way I found that successful physician entrepreneurs approach this is it's either that, you know, failure is, you know, a first attempt at learning. You know, it's something you do on the way to success, right? Like you fail your way to success, you fail forward. They would define it that way. One of my favorite ways of defining it is I had a failed project, but I'm not a failure. So think about a kid playing with Legos. If it doesn't go according to plan, you tear it down, you start over, no biggie. They just redefine that. It's not fatal. It's not a problem. It's a rite of passage. They think of it differently. So recently, Makita, who's our director of client success, got to interview one of the docs in the EntreMD Business School. Her name is Dr. Monica. She runs a direct primary care clinic. She's absolutely, or direct specialty, she's absolutely amazing. But she, during the interview, one of the things I noticed that she kept saying is, well, you know, I got an EHR and I had to change my EHR, like whatever, we figure it out, right? If you hire somebody and it doesn't work out, whatever, you figure it out. And she just has this beautiful approach to things not working, like a true scientist. Like, it didn't work. That's one way not to do it. Let's try another way. And what that does is it sets you up so you're willing to learn, you're willing to try new things, you're willing to innovate, all of the things that will make you wildly successful. And so what is the thing here? I want to invite everybody to kind of decide to look at failure differently. Failure is not fatal. Failure is a requirement for success. Like you fail your way to success. Think about the newborn who eventually becomes a year old and takes first steps, right? Like would a child walk if they had to get it perfect the first time? Like never. They're not going to walk. So what do? They take a few steps. They fall. We all celebrate the steps they took. We don't go like, oh my goodness, this child is a failure because this child fell, right? We're thinking in terms of, you know, you took the step. And if you could give yourself that grace and think of yourself that way, as you think of all the things you did in entrepreneurship, the journey will be so much easier. It'll be so much more fun and you get so much more done. So that's the first characteristic. The second characteristic is these are people who are decisive. Okay. They make decisions. They don't take forever to make decisions. So they get the amount of information they need to make the best possible decision they can make it at the time, and they go for it. And I find that one of the, like, I have met people who were trying to figure out what their business idea was. And I met them 2 years later, and they were still trying to figure out what their business idea is. I have met people with established businesses who are like, yeah, you know, I think it's about time to start bringing in executive level leadership, start bringing in managers and things like that. And they kind of thought about who that would be, thought about what the job description, thought about where they would put the ad. And 2 years later, they're still doing that, right? As opposed to the people who are like, wow, okay, I think it's time for me to bring in managers, or it's time for me to bring executive leadership decision. What do I need to do that? Boom, they've made the decision. Those people, they make so much more progress, right? Because that's 2 years of getting the person on board, iterating, building company culture, now letting them get results through their team and all of those things, whereas the other person was waiting. And so, for instance, when I, you know, when I talk to people about joining the OnTrendy Business School, and I take that to help ask them to book a call and to do all of those things, I'm like, we don't do strong arm sales, like hold you. I've actually been on sales calls where people have used all kinds of tactics, including calling me lame and calling me names to get me to, you know, feel bad and sign up for something. We don't do anything like that, like anything. Why? Because we want people who are truly a great fit for the school, who want to be in the school, who are committed to their goals to be in the school, right? We're like, we're not trying to strong arm anybody. That's why we give so much value so many other ways. So if that's not what you want to do, you don't have to do it, right? However, on that call, what we do want to do is help you make a decision, like help you get to the point you make a decision. Why? Because the ultra successful are people who are decisive. Okay. So we want to get you to a point where you can say absolutely or absolutely not, right? As opposed to hanging in the valley of decision. That's where greatness goes to die, right? Like it's almost as bad as a comfort zone. And so again, I remember Dr. Sarah Stombach. She's one of the docs in the OnTrendy Business School. And her area of expertise is obesity medicine, and she runs a practice. And, you know, I interviewed her on the podcast, and she said, I don't know how many times she said this on the call. I made a decision. I decided. I made a decision. I decided. She said it so many times. And I was like, wow, you know, like this is somebody who, and I could tell by her actions, she was that kind of person, but this is somebody who is just on the path. She's on the path of the ultra successful. And I'm so excited. Just want to see where she's going to get with that. And she said, you know what? My practice is not working the way I want it to work. I need help. She found OnTrendy. She found out about the OnTrendy Business School. Boom. Right. And then we came in. She came into the school, realized that she was undercharging. And we're like, okay, one of the best things you can do is raise your prices. And she was like, okay, yes, there's mind drama around that, all of that. But I made a decision. Raise my prices, then boom. And like, okay, one of the best things you can do as far as bringing new patients in is, you know, embrace the concept of asking both for new clients and for referral sources. And she has been on an askathon ever since. Now, did she have the same like mind drama? What if all of those things around that? Yes, but she's just so decisive. Like I decided and I do and I'm off with it. And so you want to stop and ask yourself, like, what are those critical decisions in my business that I'm just running away from making? Maybe this is a time. Maybe even pause this. I'll allow it. Maybe you pause it and say, okay, I'm just going to stop and I'm going to get to absolutely or absolutely not. I have all the information to make the decision. I just haven't made it yet, right? Like make the decision and let's move, right? And I say this because we're burning daylight. Like, it's not like we don't have an endless number of days. We have a finite number of days. We have a finite amount of time to do what needs to be done. And so the more time we spend sitting in indecision, the more we rob ourselves of those results, right? So that's the second characteristic. The third characteristic is these are people that play the long game. They play the long game. I have listened to, you know, people who are running 8-figure, 9-figure businesses, and it's amazing. Like, for instance, one of them said, you know what? I'm going to try my hand at YouTube. Now, granted, this was already an 8-figure business at the time. I'm going to try my hand at YouTube. I'm going to do 2 videos every week for 10 years, and I'm going to see if it works. And I thought, that is so insane, right? That he would say that, but 10 years. And he's like, I'm going to see if this works. Whereas Some other person may say, I did 5 YouTube videos and it didn't work and they quit, right? And is it quote unquote understandable? Yes, maybe they didn't get the number of views they wanted and all of those kind of things. But I want to toe the path of the ultra successful. And what they do is they play the long game. I listened to someone else and she said, you know what? Now, at the time, she was running a 7-figure business. Now she has multiple 7-figure businesses and an 8-figure business. And she said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to embrace this podcasting thing and I'm going to podcast. I'm just going to do it for 10 years and see what happens. Same 10 years, right? I'm going to do it for 10 years and just see what happens. And, you know, I paid attention to that. And over and over and over, I'll hear people say the same thing about something that they wanted to do in their businesses. Now, these are people, they are doing the work. They are learning. They're improving. They're learning how to do it better. So it's not just like, I'm just going to do it and not get better and suck at it for a decade. No, like they're constantly, you know, like up-leveling their game and all of that stuff, but they go for the long game, right? Now, playing the long game allows you to make the most strategic decisions. If you are going after results that you can get in 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, and that's where everything stops, then it's hard to make the difficult decisions. It's hard to make the strategic decisions. There is a doctor in EBS. He runs a private practice and he's run the private practice for about a decade, you know, at this point. And one of the things right in front of him to do was to build this rock star team that will give him the freedom to, you know, pursue other passions, to take more time off, to be with his family, to truly build a practice that can work without him, build a practice that he can sell. And that doesn't mean he wants to sell it, right? But we always build practices with the exit plan in place, right? The exit strategy being executed from day one, because we want to have options, all right? And, you know, as my dear friend, Dr. Dosuma would say, she says a practice worth selling is a practice worth keeping. So you'll still end up with the best possible practice. So anyway, it's building a team. But if you've ever built a team, then you understand that building a team is some of the hardest work there is, right? Like finding the people, building the culture, training them, empowering them to perform at higher and higher levels, overcoming conflict, all of it, right? And so this is not something you just take on lightly. This is something that, I mean, it takes a moment to build. And he decided last year he was going to go in on that, building his team, building the management team, building, you know, like the people who could kind of run things when he's not there and all of that. And it took months and months and months. It probably took about 9 months, right, for him to put all of this together. But guess what? He has a great team now. He has a phenomenal team now. He has a phenomenal team overseas because he has some virtual team members. He has a phenomenal team in office. He has managers. He has all of these things. And it's just amazing because I can see what he's building. It's one of those things that are foundational and you'll see some of the rewards, but the real ROI, it takes a minute to see it. But when you see it, it's so beautiful, but very few people are willing to play the long game. And so you want to ask yourself, what is something that like, have you thought about your business, you know, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 7 years from now? Have you made a commitment that I'm going to do the work that is required to thrive for 5 years, for 7 years? Have you decided that, oh, if you have a bad day on social media or you have a bad launch or you have a bad month, that you're not just going to stop? Because we don't stop because of the crisis right in front of us. If we want to stop, it's a strategic decision that we've looked at it all and this is not taking us where we want to go. But if it is taking us where we want to go, then we put in the work. Then we overcome the challenges. Then we don't let the things that are discouraging stop us because we play the long game. Okay. So that's number three. Number four is that these are people who invest in themselves. I have talked to all kinds of entrepreneurs, including people who are running, you know, like multi-9-figure businesses. And I will tell you, they are people who invest in themselves. They are people who look like, okay, what is the thing that I need? Who has it? Who's the shortcut? Who can show me this thing, right? I didn't discover investing myself as an entrepreneur, right? Till about 2017. I didn't know there was coaching. I didn't know there was consulting. I didn't know you could just keep retooling yourself and acquire, like stacking on the tools. I didn't know you could do that. And so in 2017, when I found out, I didn't even know what the ripple effect will be. You've heard me tell my story many times. I was at a speaker's boot camp and they had this speaker's mind, you know, mastermind and all this. And they're like, you can come join our program for 10 months. It's 43 grand. And I was like, oh my goodness. Like, are these guys nuts? Like, what are they selling? Did they lace you with gold? What in the world? And I am still so grateful that that day I said yes, because not only did I learn, you know, like to become a speaker and all these other things, right? But I learned the value, the ROI on investing in yourself. Like, that's when I discovered that. And since then, I have never stopped investing in myself. And in fact, for me, you know, like I see it as my obligation, because, you know, like I podcast, right? So I'm teaching people. I have the EntreMD business school. So I'm teaching people and all of this stuff. So the greatest disservice would be for me to stop learning, stop growing, stop retooling, stop expanding my wealth of knowledge and experience and expertise and all of that stuff. So I do that. But the people who are ultra successful, they're people who invest in themselves, right? And so, like, of course, you know, when I think about all the doctors in the EntreMD business school, these are people who said, you know what? I'm going to invest in myself, to retool myself, to acquire new skills, new experiences, new expertise, get new results, have a, like, just completely transform my life. And that's what they're doing, right? And it's not just them, right? It's not just them. They're, people invest really heavily. And, you know, sometimes people will say, oh, you know, I want to invest in myself and it's 30 grand and it's a lot and things like that. And I'm not saying that 30 grand is not, you know, is not money. It is. However, there are many people who at the same time are investing like three times, four times, five times that. Am I telling you to do that? Not necessarily. But what I am telling you is take a look. There are trends. Take a look. And you find out that these are what ultra successful entrepreneurs are doing. And so that's what I do. Okay. Because I am so aware. You've heard me talk about my 90th birthday party so many times. I am so aware that I don't have forever to live. I don't have forever to get the job that I need to get done. And so I will take every shortcut. Now, when I say shortcut, I mean, I will take all the learning I can get by investing in other people who've been there, done that, and have 10 t-shirts, right? So I will take every possible shortcut that there is. So that's number four. Number five, ultra successful. They are so customer focused. They are focused on their customers, their clients, their patients. They're thinking about, you know, what do these people, what do they need? What are the needs that they have? Where are they stumbling? How can I support them better? What are the questions they have? What is confusing to them? What are the myths they believe? Like, they're constantly thinking about their customers. Okay. And if you are somebody who wants to be super successful as an entrepreneur, you must remember your business doesn't exist for you. Your business exists for the person you serve. The business exists for your client, for your customers, for your patients. Like, it exists for them. So the more you think about them, the more you will succeed. It is really as simple as that. And so, for instance, right, like when I think about what I do, right, I think about the doctors in the EntreMD business school, and I have them on my mind all the time, like all my business time, right? And I'm thinking like, okay, what is it? What are the questions they have? And those are the things that become Wednesday live sessions. What are the challenges they're facing? Those are things I solve on the live session, or it becomes a book that I recommend, or it becomes a challenge. Where are they getting stuck, right? I start solving that. Where are they not seeing themselves as great as they can be? Where do they need a paradigm shift, right? And it's on and on, because the more I focus on them, the more I can help them win. The more they win, the more I win, right? Same thing for you listening to the podcast. I'm constantly thinking, what is the thing that I can package in 15 to 20 minutes that will make a huge difference for you? That will help you move forward. That will help you make a difference. What is that mindset shift that you need? What is that how to? What is that thing you need to know how to do? What is that trap that, you know, that you're going to come across as you cross the, you know, the $500,000 mark, or the $1 million mark, or as you start bringing your team on, and all of those? I'm constantly thinking about that, so I can provide the answers you need. I can provide the support you need. I can provide the help you need. Okay. I listen to, you know, like many entrepreneurs who design products, who do all of these things, and they're constantly thinking, like, how can I serve this person better? How have they evolved? How have they changed? How does the product need to change because they've changed? And all of that, and on and on and on and on. And so, you know, like, the reason why a lot of people will not do a podcast or YouTube or show up on social media or do any of those things is because they're constantly thinking about themselves. And not, you know, like, I wouldn't call that being selfish. It's just like their inward focus, right? And so what will people say about me? What will they think about me? Am I doing this perfectly? Sometimes with the actual, you know, like, bringing in revenue, it's, I'm thinking about how much can I make and not how can I serve this person? Now, please don't misunderstand me. Of course you need to make money, but it's serve and earn, and the serving leads first. You see what I mean? The more you think about them, the easier it would be to overcome a lot of the mind drama, right? If you think about, you know, like, Dr. Rachel Rubin, again, big shout out to her. I'm shouting out a lot of the docs in the EntreMD Business School. She's a urologist, fellowship trained in sexual health and sexual medicine. And she, you know, like, she's constantly thinking about the lies that women have been told. And so they're not using vaginal estrogen and all of these things. And she goes on and on about it because she's thinking about her person. So she's going to show up and she's going to do video and she's going to do reels on Instagram and she's going to do masterclasses. She's going to speak on stage and all of that. When we first started working together, she told me, she said, my face is made for radio. My face is not made for video. But because she's so customer focused, she's so focused on the menopausal woman, she's going to come out and do what she needs to do. And I want to invite you to do the same thing. Like, what are the problems my people are having? What is the help they need? What are the lies they believed? The more you can tune into that and make a commitment to solve those problems, the better everything will be, the more successful you'll be. Okay? Okay. So that's number five. Number six, ultra successful physician entrepreneurs, they are hard workers. We live in this fascinating time where people are like, yeah, ooh la la, sing kumbaya and drink margaritas on the beach and, you know, just think your way to success in business. And the truth of the matter is it doesn't work. Okay. I've talked to tons and tons and tons and tons of successful entrepreneurs. Now, they are not killing themselves. Like, they're not working themselves to the bone, but they are working hard, right? Like, they are working hard. And I want to give a big, big, big shout out to a doc in the EntreMD Business School. Her name is Dr. Carolina Swallowdell, and she is a fertility doc in Florida. And she was in California when she joined the business school and started building her personal brand and started making a name for herself, was known as the go-to expert, appeared on CNN, all of these things happening. And she decided it was time to start her own practice. She moved across country to Florida and she started this practice. And like any other practice, well, 99% of practices in the beginning was hard. And it was hard and it was hard work. And I remember watching her and I was like, I know she has it. And I know that between, oh my goodness, this is so amazing, like between where you start and that, a lot of time there's this dry, silent, wilderness style period, and you just have to get through that. And I watched her month after month after month, crushing it, doing the work, putting in the reps, going after the referral sources, speaking, showing up on social media, networking, doing all of those things. And just been a few months later, okay? And things have turned around to the point where she's like, okay, I can see it now. I can see it now, right? But if she didn't put in that work, guess what? It would be a story. It would be like, you know, I tried that private practice thing and it didn't work, but here she is. And I have no doubt that not only will she go on to make that like super successful, but she's going to go on to create verticals and all these other things that are going to follow that, right? But the hard work is required. I talked about Dr. Emeka earlier, who had to build this team. It is hard work to build a team, but this is the thing. If you do the hard work of building the team, then you can get the peace and quiet afterwards. You see, like, but the hard work goes first. And I'm so proud of him. And I could tell you story after story after story of the doctors in the EntreMD Business School doing these things, right? And even without, hard work is required. Don't believe the lie. Okay, that's number six. Number seven is really number one. And I say this because when I talk about ultra successful physician entrepreneurs, I'm not talking about only people who have businesses that are successful. I'm talking about people who have businesses that are successful and lives that are successful. I'm talking about people who are building really successful businesses and they're not burnt out. They have time for their family. They're building quality relationships. They enjoy their lives. They work hard when they're working in their business. They play hard when they're playing. And that's what we want. In the Entrepreneur Business School, we say building your dream life and your dream business at the same time, because we want both. I have no interest of, you know, in building a business at the expense of my life. Like, I have not. Okay. So number seven is they are committed to their dream life. They're committed to their dream life. Now, this is the way we say it, right? Like, you can have a version, like when you're building your business, you have a version of your dream business, right? It's not the ultimate dream. It's a version. It's like 1.0. And you keep building 2.0, 3.0, 4.0. In the same way, you want to build your dream life. Now, you may not have the ultimate dream. Nobody really starts with the ultimate dream, but you can also have 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, 4.0. So what that means is dream business, dream life means I have this 1.0 version of my dream business and 1.0 version of my dream life. And I'm working towards 2.0 and 3.0 or 4.0. And so, for instance, you know, you just started a business 1.0 as far as, you know, like your dream business may be, I'm at this stage where, you know, I'm having my first 50K a year or my first 100K a year or my first, you know, 250K a year or whatever that is, right? And your dream life could then be that maybe you had somebody work once a week so that you can have a long weekend every weekend. Or maybe it is that you hired somebody to do the laundry and you hired somebody to do the cleaning, right? And so that your weekends, you have it to truly rest. Like, it could be that. It could be just that. And as you go higher, right, then you have, well, we crossed the $1 million mark. And then maybe over here, you're like, I take off, you know, like I take 5 weeks off every year. And it just keeps going higher and higher and higher. But you choose, right? But they're not willing. They're not willing to build a business at the expense of their life. So they just keep that version and keep taking it higher and higher and higher. So, you know, we've had people who decided, well, I want to homeschool my kids. They've decided I want to take a vacation every quarter, international vacation, and they've done it. They've had, like, it's whatever that means for you. Okay. You just start from where you are and you keep working your way up. So that way you can always say, I'm building my dream life and my dream business concurrently, right? Because it's a version. You understand that it's a version and you're not bothered by somebody else's version because you have your version. Okay. Okay. Now, one of the people who demonstrates is probably the best that I know of the docs that I've worked with is Dr. Catherine Toomer. And, you know, she's family medicine trained and she really has this whole movement around, you know, wellness and weight loss and getting rid of the weight, you know, like the fat shaming and things like that. And she has always aggressively protected her time. She values time more than money. And you say yes, and we all do. But the truth of the matter is she's always lived it out, right? Like some people say that, but they don't quite do that. But she's always valued it more than money. She's the first person I heard of the fear of success, because she's like, then what happens to my time if I become successful? She is always committed to her dream life. And so in doing that, she has built a business that has allowed her to live her dream life. And so here she is crushing as an entrepreneur. And she says, you know, I work 3 days a week and I work 5 hours those days. And this is a year or two ago. So I don't even know what she's doing now, but you know, she's able to take off time for her family. If it's a family member's birthday, she can take a week off and go hang with them. If her daughters need her, she can go be with them. And you know, like she's really created time, location, freedom, financial freedom for herself, all while building a very successful business. Like there have been times I've talked to her, she's like, oh, my business has grown by, you know, 671%. And another time my business has grown by 1,000%. And all of this happening while she's building her dream life. No business is worth our dream life, right? Okay, so this is the deal. These are seven characteristics I have here. Okay. So they've redefined failure. They're decisive. They play the long game. They invest in themselves. They're customer focused. They're hard workers and they are committed to their dream life. Guess what? We can all be that way. We can all improve how we are that way, right? And I want to invite you to kind of, you know, take this and sit with yourself and ask yourself, like, is this something that I'm doing? Is this something I can do better? How am I showing up this way? How am I not showing up this way? And I want to invite you to not judge. This is not about judgment. This is about observation, right? Like a scientist, we're just observing and then we can course correct based on that. But this is the deal, right? I know for a fact that the physician space needs as many successful physician entrepreneurs as can be created, right? And this is a critical time in our history as physicians. And I want to invite you to be one of the people who say yes to being a very successful entrepreneur, a very successful physician entrepreneur, and kind of do an audit here and up-level the way you're showing up, up-level the way you are displaying these characteristics of the ultra-successful. And, you know, like as you do that, you'll be surprised by the ripple effect it will have in your business, and not only your business, but your life as well. Okay. Because we're not just about building dream businesses. We're about building dream businesses and dream lives, both of them. Okay. I cannot wait to celebrate you, to celebrate the wins you create, to celebrate the transformation in your business. I cannot wait to celebrate the ripple effect of your success on the physician community, because that's what exactly what's going to happen. You're going to end up being a vision board for other people, right? I can't wait to see all of that. And it's just tied to you doing a quick audit and making some quick shifts. So make those shifts. And if you did, I want you to send me a DM, send me a PM, say, hey, Dr. Una, you'll not believe what I just did. Like, let me know. I want to cheer you on. Okay. And if this episode was helpful to you, I want you to take a screenshot of it, share it on social media, tell the doctors in your life, you just got to listen to this. Okay. This will rock your world. All right. As always, I'm rooting for you, and I cannot wait to see you on the next episode of the On Trendy Podcast.